Welcome to Renal Cell Cancer Update. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. The recent 2007 ASCO meeting in Chicago included a number of encouraging presentations related to targeted molecular therapy of renal cell cancer, and I met with Dr. David Quinn for his take on the clinical and research implications of these data. To begin, Dr. Quinn commented on a key paper, the first report of the so-called Avorin trial, evaluating interferon alone or with bevacizumab.
They took previously non-treated metastatic clear cell carcinoma, and they randomized the patients either to get fairly standard dose, low-dose subcutaneous interferon 3 times per week in both arms, and then they allocated people to get Avastin infusion or not, in a fairly standard regimen, similar to what most community oncologists would use for colon cancer. And they followed for a progression-free survival endpoint. We now, today, see the progression-free data, which shows a doubling of progression-free survival. And I think this is good news in the first line. In previous years, we've seen a doubling of progression-free survival in the first line for sunitinib over interferon, which was the standard therapy. And then the year before that, we saw a doubling in progression-free survival in the second line for sorafenib over and above placebo. So it's all good news. And then for the poor-risk patients, obviously we have temsirolimus, and just how these different agents fit in is something that no doubt we're going to have to discuss today and try and work out in our practices.
That's exactly what I wanted to ask you in terms of where are we now? What does this all mean?
Well, I think it's difficult. You can't compare one trial done in the first line setting to another. Even if you classify the patients in the same way, they are different groups and they're done in different countries, different practices. Prior to the release of this trial, interferon usage in the United States had dropped to virtually zero. And so from that perspective, those people who were still going to give a cytokine in the first line were going to do high-dose interleukin-2 in an attempt to cure the small proportion of patients that can be cured with that. So the Avorin data raises the question of where interferon fits. And the big problem with interferon is that it has some activity in the disease in selected patients, but at the cost of very significant morbid side effects long-term, and does not have a duration of response in most patients that's usually worthwhile. So for the practitioner looking to use Avastin, the question is, do you combine it with interferon in the first line? Do you pick up from some phase 2 studies that have previously been done, such as the one presented by Dr. Bukowski last year, where they looked at Avastin alone versus Avastin and Alotinib and found that there was no advantage to adding Alotinib? That was a randomized phase 2 study. I don't know whether we can assume too much. And so,
well, but in terms of what was seen in terms of response rate and progression-free survival, how did that sort of compare indirectly to what was reported here with the interferon?
In the Avastin alone arm in that study, you know, we were looking at a progression-free survival of around 8 months. If one looks at all of the angiogenesis inhibitors, that's around about what you get. They're all around about between 6 and 11 months, and depending on what setting you give them in the trials. And there are clearly some patients that benefit and some that don't. We're still working that out. But looking at it, we have a choice of 4 agents. We have sorafenib, sunitinib, Avastin, whether alone or in combination, and then temsirolimus. And a practitioner could try and pick any one of them. And there may be an argument to say it doesn't matter what angiogenesis inhibitor you start with, provided people get exposed.